It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Today, FPL is back and it's all changed at Spurs with Poch out for Jose Mourinho. Who will you be bringing in though? And who goes out the window? That and all the other big questions coming up in today's show. Hello, Fantasy Manager. Woohoo! Game week 13 awaits. And to ensure it's a lucky one for you, we've got Sam Bonfield of the FPL family.
Hiya, James.
And the Harry Kane fan club.
Absolutely.
Tom Williams, author and football writer.
Hello, James.
And Julian Laurens, international journalist.
Yes, indeed.
And currently...
Number
one manager in our Pundits League.
It felt so good.
The
last 10 days, I have to say, waking up in the morning felt so good.
Ooh,
did you check it every day?
I don't need to. I mean, no one can catch me for now.
Well, for now.
It's really tight. Not so much with you, James. I think you're 100 points behind me. but Sam, for example, I'm quite worried because she was top for a long time. I think it's just like a few points between
the top five. But she isn't anymore. A lesson there for you, Jules. But you are currently inside the top 13,000 managers in the world.
Yes.
How are you going to stay there? What's your key principle?
First of all, I'm not sure how I got there, to be fair, but I need Jamie Vardy to keep scoring. I've sent him a few messages to make sure that he was going to bed early and all that kind of things.
Right. Well, he rested over the international break, of course, which I think is a good thing.
And I think for a lot of our managers, it's very important to follow the players you have in your team, how much they play in international break, if they maybe got little niggles or things like that with the national teams. Mm. And certainly the ones who didn't go away and stayed for 2 weeks in their club's training would be surely in a much better form.
Well, on that note, Tom, Raul Jimenez, who a lot of people have been interested in, I myself have brought him in the Wolves forward, with a very rigorous travel schedule. He went off to Mexico, and I think he only gets one training schedule before taking the field this weekend against Bournemouth.
Yeah, the international break is a challenging time for fantasy football managers because you have 2 weeks without any Premier League games, and there is that temptation to just start tinkering, and particularly when you look at the form of players during the international break, can they transfer it into their club fixtures? Ben Chilwell, for example, at Leicester, that hat-trick of assists against Montenegro, and you start to think, oh, you know, mate, you know, guys who might be on your watch list, if they start performing well in the international games, perhaps they get a bit closer to getting into your team.
Well, beyond international form, the really big news, I guess, for fantasy managers is the change at Tottenham Hotspur with Pochettino leaving and Jose Mourinho coming in. Sam, your Harry Kane affiliation is noted. But beyond what you feel about Pochettino and his departure, what do you think the impact is going to be for fantasy managers and their FPL assets? River, for example, tweeting in saying, which Spurs asset should we get given the new manager bounce? Who are you looking at as potentially valuable?
So my plan this week was actually to transfer out Harry Kane. And I know it's almost sacrilege for me, right? But his form hasn't been great. He's been playing a lot deeper. So in my mind, I was thinking it's too much money, that 10.8. I can better use it elsewhere. Actually, with the new manager coming in, he much prefers to play proper strikers who don't come deeper. So I'm now holding Kane on the basis that I think he'll be better. But I think the biggest impact will be on the Spurs defence. They've kept one clean sheet all season so far, the worst in the league for that. Mourinho is known for his quality defences. He's able to set the defenders up well. And so I think that makes the Spurs wing-backs really interesting options for us, the likes of Danny Rose, Ben Davis, Serge Aurier, but also the cheap goalkeeper as well. I think he could be a nice way in, particularly if you've got some defensive issues with Heaton flagged, Henderson missing this week.
Right. West Ham away this weekend, where Spurs actually have a good record, and West Ham are in pretty woeful form, particularly themselves at the back. Who are you actually looking to get in then? Jules, are you looking to bring in anyone from Spurs?
So Heung-min Son, I think, is another interesting one. I completely agree with everything Sam has just said defensively. I mean, I think this Spurs squad has so many players who are Mourinho players, very much so. And I think Son, with his pace, is typically the kind of player that Mourinho loves. And I can see Son shining again. He got 8 points in game week 12. And he's only owned by 7.8%, I think, something like that. So I think Son could be an interesting differential if you've got the money.
Okay, Tom, are you looking at anyone?
Yeah, I think to pick up on what Jules said, I think there are a lot of potential differentials in that Spurs squad. I mean, one of the difficulties when a new manager comes in is you never know who are going to be the guys who he trusts. So generally, I think it's wise to sort of sit back and see how things evolve. But Sam mentions Paolo Gazzaniga. I mean, only 3.1% ownership, only 4.5 million, so about as cheap as a top six goalkeeper gets. Looking elsewhere in the team, Dele Alli, 8.4 million, so he's not cheap, but he's only 0.9% ownership, and he's already shown signs of getting into form in recent weeks. Two goals in his last four games. I think Mourinho will see Alli as a player who, if he's going to turn things around at Spurs, he really needs to get onside and playing his best football. So not looking to bring in any Spurs assets this week, but I think over the next few weeks they're worth keeping a close eye on.
And what about the players at the back? Mourinho's so famed for his defensive solidity, the Alderweireld's, the Vertonghen's, the Ben Davis. Which of those do you think represents the best shout?
I think if you wait a couple of weeks, then you'll get an understanding perhaps better of which of the wing backs he's going to play. Is it going to be Davis or Rose, Aurier, etc.? But I think what we will see is that nailed on centre back pairing of Alderweireld and Vertonghen. And as fantasy assets, they're always up there when there's corners and stuff going in. I expect them to do well this season.
All right. It's tempting to leap in straight away because you've got West Ham this weekend, then home to Bournemouth, away at Old Trafford, home to Burnley, Wolves, and then Chelsea. They're not bad fixtures.
No, particularly the home fixtures are really nice for Spurs. And, you know, if he was ever going to come in at a time, this is probably a nice point to do it. He's going to have a couple of derbies, Mourinho derbies in there with United and Chelsea coming up. So there'll be big games that he will want to win. I think, you know, there could be some really nice differential picks in here.
Okay. West Ham then for Spurs this weekend. Let's look ahead at some of the other fixtures from Game Week 13. All right, the Premier League back in action. Where are the points going to come? Well, a lot of managers will be focusing on City's game with Chelsea because I think all of our teams are pretty much loaded down with players from those two sides. Kumar has a question regarding that fixture. Do I switch Kevin De Bruyne with Jamie Vardy? I mean, one's a midfielder, one's a forward, but what do you think about that move, Jules?
De Bruyne is an enigma for me this season. I mean, you know, he's had the odd great games, but also some terrible weeks. I mean, the last few game weeks, 2 points, 2 points, 6 points, 3 points, 0 points. You know, when he was on the bench and I think came on late. He was great with Belgium in the international break. He did really well in both games, played just under 70 minutes the first game, the whole 90 minutes for the second game, but there was goals, assists there. So that might bring him a bit of confidence, but I don't know. He's not doing it, I think. And I'm tempted to sell him. I might keep him just for this week and then see after that. But it's a tricky one.
Yeah, it's been real feast and famine with De Bruyne this season. I mean, Jules mentioned some of his disappointing recent returns, but he's also had hauls of 11, 13 and 17 points this season. You feel like when City are on it, are on song, De Bruyne is generally quite heavily involved. I think the impression that a lot of people got over the first weeks of the season was that he looked back to his best. And given that he missed so much of last season, he was quite attractively priced, still only 10 million, which is, you know, for a player of his ability and potential point scoring, is still quite cheap.
He also looked the most reliable pick of the big assets for Man City, that you felt that Pep would go for him. But you mentioned the 11, the 13 and the 17 points. Last of those was back on game week 6. Since then, his returns have really tailed off.
He's played much deeper as well because David Silva has been pushed a lot, almost as a second striker. So I think his position has completely changed to what we've seen even earlier in the season and the previous seasons where he was so good.
Get rid, you think? Then?
Yeah, I'm not keen on
Tom. You getting
my
rid?
Feeling is that at some point he will bounce back. And City are in a bit of a rut at the moment. They've had some disappointing results. Mm. I suspect that at some point they'll go on a run, and at that point you'll want someone like De Bruyne in your team. But I am getting to the point where I'm starting to think about ditching him.
Is there a better option, do you think, from Man City than him?
I've got rid of everyone but him. so I totally disagree with the guys. I think for me, Kevin De Bruyne is the integral cog that makes that Man City team go. And I believe that if they're going to play better, which, let's be frank, they have to start playing better if they want to stay challenging Liverpool for the title, which is a ridiculous comment given it is only November, but they do have to start winning games again. Mm. For me, he's the least expensive of the likes of Sterling and Aguero. Yet I kind of feel I want to invest in him. Behind him, I do really like Bernardo Silva, obviously suspended for this coming game week.
Right.
But I do like him as a pick moving forward. Pep does seem to like him. He plays him regularly, and he's that much cheaper.
Well, after Chelsea, they've got Newcastle away and then Burnley away, and then a tougher run with Man United at home, Arsenal away, and Leicester at home. Sergio Aguero, this weekend, might attract some interest because he scored more Premier League goals against Chelsea than any player in the competition's history. That's 10, in fact. He's got 8 in his last 6 against the Blues.
I mean, he had never scored at Anfield against Liverpool, so everybody said, oh yeah, this year will be the year. Everybody brought him in and he did nothing or missed chances.
But it's funny, when you have records like this, they do seem to continue.
Yeah.
But then the issue with Aguero is you can't be 100% sure that he's going to start because Guardiola keeps resting him. And that I've not had Aguero all season because I just feel like the week that I decide to put him in is the week that he's going to end up on the bench.
Yeah, I totally agree with Tom.
Okay, any Chelsea assets? Because they've got a brilliant record on the road. They won their last 7 away games in the Premier League, and a fair chance of them doing quite a bit of damage at the Etihad. No, have you got? Yeah. Who have you got?
I've got rid of one of my Chelsea asset this week because I had Callum Hudson-Odoi, who was just annoying me with his constantly coming on for 8 minutes every game, getting me 0 or 1 points, very frustrating. So he's gone this week as part of my transfers, which we'll come to later. But I've still got 2 more. I've got Tammy Abraham, who pretty much everybody seems to own Tammy Abraham now,
right, highest away scorer in the Premier League.
Yeah, and his form, like you say, away from home is unbelievable, and I can see him doing well this weekend, so I'm definitely playing him. I've also got Tomori. Don't see Chelsea keeping a clean sheet this week, so he'll probably end up on the bench.
Right.
But, you know, City haven't looked that great, so...
Tom, your Chelsea assets?
Yeah, also, like Sam, I've got Tomori and Tammy Abraham. Abraham in great form. He's sort of goal contributions in 4 of the last 5 games. Again, like Sam, I think Tomori will probably end up on the bench. But I can see Chelsea scoring City. I can see Chelsea causing City problems. They're on this fantastic run of form. And City have looked quite patchy defensively. So I think Chelsea will get chances.
What about Chelsea's most informed player, Christian Pulisic? Is he going to be actually on the Pulisic list this week?
Well, he's got a yellow flag,
because
of a hip injury.
But I've heard that he's going to be back available.
You look at his form: 5 goals in the last 3 games, and after quite a slow start to his Chelsea career, he's suddenly exploded. And I think this is the player that we were expecting to see all along. I think Lampard will pick him when he's fit. I think he's the best option they've got in that left-sided role, kind of taking over from Hazard, if you like, and playing in a similar way. We await to see whether he's fit or not. But, you know, at 7.4 million, it's a very attractive price given the form he's in.
I've leapt on him almost literally. All right, well, let's look at one or two of the other fixtures this week, which might prove productive for points. Sam, as a triple Leicester owner, are you?
I am, Leicester.
Yeah, you're excited by their visit to Brighton, who actually have a good record at home.
They do, yeah. Brighton have won 4 of their last 6 games in the Premier League. And actually, in terms of Leicester, Premier League home fixtures versus Leicester, they have only lost 1 of their last 6 at home to them. So they've got a good record against Leicester at home. And they've got, as you say, a good record in the league so far at home this season, having beaten the likes of Spurs earlier on.
Are you resting all your Leicester players then?
Absolutely not. No. I will be
Are you expecting another
all.
9-0 like last time they went down the South Coast?
No, I'm not expecting 9-0, but I am expecting big things. Vardy, I think we all own Vardy now. He has scored in his last 4 Premier League matches the season. So he's looking on outstanding form. And I think that will continue. I also own Soyuncu at the back, who was fabulous for me a couple of weeks ago with his goal, did well last week, although was on my bench. He will definitely be playing this week. I think whilst Brighton have looked good at home this season, I just think Leicester look like a totally different beast so far. And I expect them to do really, really well. But actually, I think for me, the interesting point to make about Leicester is not really about Vardy or the defence, because we all own those now. It's to look at those midfielders, because they can be the differential picks for us. Now, there's obviously Maddison and Tielemans, but the one I really want to flag is Harvey Barnes. So Harvey Barnes has got 5 assists in the last 4 game weeks. And because we're all talking about Soyuncu and Vardy and all of the others, he kind of has gone a bit under the radar, only owned by 1.2% of the game, which is a huge differential in terms of a club that's got such lovely fixtures between now and the end of the year. He has, in the first 8 game weeks of the year, only got 7 shots and 5 key passes. But since then, the last 4 game weeks, he's had 10 shots, 8 key passes. 6 shots in the box, which is only second behind Vardy for Leicester. And his 4 shots on target in those weeks is ahead of both Maddison and Tielemans, who are both going to cost you a hell of a lot more.
Right.
So I really like him. I think he could be a really, really nice pick this week.
But you haven't got him in your team?
No, and strangely, having said all of this, I bought in Tielemans this week.
Right, you brought in Tielemans. Why?
Yeah, just because it was a price point difference between him and Maddison. There's that much of a price and I couldn't afford Maddison. And I looked at Harvey Barnes and Tielemans, but there is something about Tielemans' minutes and his ability to just play the whole game and be further forward. I just kind of felt that there was more goal potential from Tielemans than there is from Harvey Barnes. I see him getting assists.
Tom, if you were building a team right now, which Leicester players would you bring in?
Ooh, I've already got Vardy, like everyone. I mean, Soyuncu is the obvious one because he's still so cheap.
Right.
What is he? Still, 4.9. And then, I mean, I think Sam makes a good point about Tielemans. A bit of toss-up for me between him and Maddison. I think those would be the three. I mean, Ricardo Pereira as well and Ben Chilwell, fullbacks.
Yeah.
Get Leicester players, put Leicester players in your team. Crystal Palace are hosting Liverpool. Janet says she's getting ready to ship her Liverpool assets out because of the Club World Cup, because that's coming up. Liverpool are going to be missing a fixture in 6 weeks' time, or 6 game weeks' time. When they come back, is there potential for some good double game weeks? Question mark. Ask Janet. Well, yes. But in the meantime, should we be starting to wean ourselves off our Anfield players?
Perhaps not immediately, but it's definitely worth bearing in mind. I mean, you've still got time now to reconfigure your team in time for the Club World Cup. But also, in addition to that, Liverpool do have an awful lot of football to play between now and January. So I imagine that rotation's going to come in more and more. Looking at the game this weekend at Palace, we know that Mo Salah and Andy Robertson are probably going to be missing, who are two pretty popular fantasy assets. I've had Salah for a while, and he's not been firing on all cylinders. Obviously, he got that goal in the win against City last time out, but Mane has been the key man in that attack. So I've been thinking about making the Salah to Mane shift for a few weeks now, so I think that might be the week to do it.
But whether Mane's getting the goals and points or not, not having Salah in the team, and the same goes for Robertson as well, has a massive impact on all the other players. If you don't have Robertson drawing attention, if you don't have Salah there occupying defenders, how much of a knock-on effect is that going to be for all Liverpool assets?
And especially against a team like Palace, who will defend really, really well. You know that they're going to be so well organised, they're going to play really deep, and especially the absence of Robertson could be a big problem. I don't think Mane is the same where Milner plays behind him, for example, or whoever might replace Robertson. Obviously, you don't have the quality of crossing that Robertson has for Firmino, for Salah, or even for Mane. And you know, you even wonder if Salah is not there either, or Origi will come in. It's a different way of playing when Salah isn't there. So I will keep Mane. I've got Mane in my team. I will keep him because he's capable of, on his own, to do something. But I think for Liverpool this week, it's a bit of a tricky one.
Mm. And just quickly on Palace, I wouldn't necessarily recommend anyone to bring in any Palace players in time for this weekend. Their recent form has been quite poor, 4 games without a win. But you look at their next 8 fixtures, they've got one of the best sets of fixtures in the division. Burnley away, Bournemouth home, Watford away, Brighton home, Newcastle away, West Ham home, Southampton away, Norwich away. So I think beyond this Liverpool game, I think Palace are gonna come into the picture a bit more. And you suspect their form will level out a little bit as well.
Well, I mean, we'll have a look at the long-term prospects for some of these clubs very shortly in the long view. But on the subject of Palace, who on earth would you bring in?
I mean, they don't score a huge amount of goals,
no.
Which doesn't make them all that attractive. But you look at high-scoring defenders. Patrick Van Aanholt is up there. Luka Milivojevic, who's still on. Well, I mean, players who have been historically high-scoring defenders.
Right.
And generally speaking, Roy Hodgson teams are defensively quite solid. They haven't shown that the last few weeks. But I'm thinking that in the next few weeks, they will start to turn that around a bit.
If you need a keeper, I think Hennessy.
Mm. There could be a whole bunch of FPL managers who will be needing a keeper this weekend. The ones who got Henderson in their team, because he can't play in Sheffield United's game against Man United on loan from the Red Devils. Jules, I know this is a fixture, just to finish off our look at Game Week 13's matches, this is a fixture which really intrigues you. First of all, what the impact of him not being there for the Blades between the posts will be. Then also Man United's rotten record on the road and whether to get, you know, 2 or 3 Sheffield United players in.
I'm so much into the Sheffield United love wagon, really. I only have Lundstrom like the rest of the world right now, but I'm thinking, and the Stevens who... I mean, if you look at the numbers, I mean, Stevens have 51 points. Baldock has 51 points as well. They have, their defenders have huge amount of points.
Yeah, they're ahead of Trent, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And with very low ownership as well, because, you know, no one would have thought. I think Stevens is on 2.4%. Baldock is on 2%. So, you know, you can make big differential there.
And just to throw in that their fixtures are probably second only to Leicester's over the next 6 weeks in terms of attractiveness.
Mm. Yeah, you've got Wolves, Newcastle, Norwich, Villa, Brighton and Watford after the United game at the weekend. So wow. Definitely, I think,
keep them in mind. Okay, the Sheffield United players we should be getting on board with. As you say, the whole world's got Lundstrom. Who else?
So Ender Stevens, I think, is a really, really good shout. Right. So is Joel Baldock, who scored against Spurs. Might not score every week, but in terms of, you know, the way they defend, even the way they play, Mal Godric, who I thought played really well with Ireland and who was very, very good against Spurs as well, is another interesting one. So is Lys Mousset, who's had a hat-trick of assists, for example, and he's doing really well in his own style, if you want. He's not going to score you 25 goals in the season, but I think Sheffield United are a good, you know, good bet to have this week.
How many players will you have, Jules?
Two. I think I'll bring in another one as well at Lundstrom.
Fantastic. Well, that's what's happening this weekend, but as we mentioned, a big part of the picture are what clubs are going to be up to over the month or so between now and Christmas, and that's what we'll be focusing on after this in The Long View. Long View. Which clubs represent the best long-term investments and which ones don't? I mean, Leicester have still got fabulous fixtures, and as we were just mentioning, Sheffield United look pretty great as well. Below them, you've got a whole load of clubs who have some of fancy Premier League's less heralded players who might have big opportunities to make some points. Southampton have good fixtures. Wolves do as well, as do Palace and Newcastle as well. Any of those clubs that you're looking to kind of mine a bit of FPL gold out of?
Well, I definitely think Wolves. We saw last season that Wolves are FPL gold when it comes to the likes of Matt Doherty and Jimenez. But there's also the nice midfielder options. I know Traore is flagged for this week, but yeah, he's a great one. I've got Moutinho, who I think can be really, really positive moving forward. So I really like Wolves. I also noticed that Manchester United are very high on the fixture ticker if you roll them through to the end of the new year. So the likes of Martial and Rashford, I think, should also come into our thinking.
All right. Jules, we were just talking about the game with Sheffield United. Is it just Sheffield United there, or you think there's some Man United
love? I think Martial is a great shout. I think he makes Rashford better. Definitely. Rashford plays so much better when Martial is there as a number nine. I think Martial, in the mood that he's in right now and the freedom he has now as a centre forward, could get you goals and assists pretty much every game.
Okay. Tom, what about those clubs? Saints, Wolves, Palace and Newcastle?
So as Jules was saying earlier about Sheffield United, I think it's clear now that this defensive solidity they have is not a flash in the pan. Right. They've got the second best defensive record in the country. Their defenders are still very attractively priced. So I can see, perhaps another one of those coming into play alongside John Lundstrom for me. Of those teams you mentioned, I've got Adama Traore, who's only, I think, 5.1 million, which is a decent price. Got an assist last time out against Villa, had a shot against the bar. I watched the game and he looked really threatening. He's now playing regularly for Wolves, who are a team who scored quite
playing,
a lot of goals.
Yeah. If he's playing.
I mean, he pulled out of, there was that sort of back and forth about whether he was going to turn up for Mali or for Spain, and in the end he pulled out with an injury. But that was right at the start of the international break. So right. I think away at Bournemouth, there might be some goals there for Wolves.
Okay. Wolves have Bournemouth away, then Sheffield United at home, West Ham at home, Brighton away, Spurs at home, Norwich away. Right. By contrast, teams to avoid, and you can check this out for yourselves by downloading the FPL's excellent FDR chart, fixture difficulty rating chart, but very much Bournemouth's early run of good fixtures has dried up now. Things looking very difficult for them over the next 6 weeks. Same goes for Everton, who similarly were blessed in the opening weeks of the campaign, and West Ham, who are having a rotten time of it, and in the next six game weeks only have five fixtures because the other one would have been against Liverpool. So, yeah, maybe not time to pile in on their players. After this, we're going to turn our thoughts to this week's Wednesday tweet, which was, what's your biggest decision going into game week 13? Loving all your tweets on hashtag FPLpod. The question, as I say, this week was, what's your biggest decision ahead of the return of the Fantasy Premier League? Hundreds of answers, Jules.
Yeah.
Habab says, biggest decision was whether to delete my account or not.
Don't do that.
Hang in there.
Tatola, triple captaining Harry Kane. Josie's at the wheel, lads. Bit of banter there from Tatola.
Sam is loving that. Sam is loving the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spurs away at West Ham.
Why not? I'm thinking about captaining him now.
But triple captaining him?
Well, it's rogue and it's out there, but right, it could massively pay off.
Let's talk about Aubameyang. Ahmad says, I'm thinking of captaining Aubameyang over Vardy.
I mean, Aubameyang has gone off the boil in recent weeks, having previously been a quite attractive pick. Right. Arsenal aren't in a great run of form, four games without a win, but at home to a Southampton team who are seven games without a win, and you think if Arsenal can't smash Southampton, then Unai Emery really is in trouble. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see Aubameyang get at least a couple this weekend.
Okay, do you feel like the off-field issues, the slight tension between him and other players over his involvement with Arsenal Fan TV is going to have any kind of potential impact
no.
on...
No, I think if he's on the pitch, he will score goals.
Okay, Kunal has sold Sterling and Ali for Maddison and Aubameyang. Can't help but feel, says Kunal, that Aubameyang is in for a big haul in the next 2 weeks.
I mean, it's his first game as club captain as well on Saturday. Uh-huh. And I know, having spoken to him about it, that how proud he feels. And I think that would give him extra motivation, extra whatever you want to call it, to do even better. And I think him and Lacazette will play both centrally now instead of him playing a bit wide on the left like he's had a lot this season. And I think that would suit him a lot to have Lacazette next to him and play in a more central role. So I can definitely see him scoring at the weekend and then going on a roll.
Okay, well, a little bit later on, we'll be finding out what your big decisions, Tom, Jules and Sam, are ahead of game week 13. But up next, we tackle the essential differential. Looking for players with low ownership, anything below 10%, but high probability of picking up big points for us this weekend. Sam, who's on your radar?
So a little bit rogue maybe, given that the fixtures turn after this week, but I'm going for Richarlison at Everton, playing against Norwich. So is a really lovely fixture for this week. I would suggest get him in, captain him maybe, and then ship him out for the following few weeks.
Wow, that is rogue.
It is. It's out there, definitely.
Strategy.
But I think sometimes you need that kind of a player that you can bring in that's almost guaranteed. You've got to think he's guaranteed.
Do you
points.
Do that often, bring in a player just for 1 week?
I don't do it often, but I do it when there is a really, really nice fixture
right. For
a player. And I think Richarlison playing up top for Everton, with three FPL returns in the last 4 weeks for him. So he's got the form, the fixture's there. It just feels like Everton need this. They need a win this week before this horrible run that they've
Sam,
got.
Sam, don't do it. Really. I mean, I'm forever bringing in players for 1 week, but I never mean to do it.
Shame.
Just if you are keen on Richarlison, he's 7.5% ownership, 7.9 million. 7.9 million. Jules, come up with something more sensible, please.
I'm thinking about Danny Ings. I don't know how much you would find that.
So much for sensible.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, hear me out on this one. 3% ownership, which I think is very low.
Yeah, and why would that be?
Because he's only, I don't know, because people don't see the game the way I do, maybe. I don't know, but 52 points return already, which is a lot. 52 points is good in a team that's struggling. He will score goals. Don't forget, all the chances are coming for him. You know, he'll have players who will provide the ball. He's the only one who can score goals. So from Boufal, Højbjerg, you know, whoever else, Redmond, the ball will come to him in the box, and he's that kind of striker. So against Arsenal, they will score.
Defend.
Yeah, they can't defend. They will have chances. He will have chances. And then, as we said before, Watford, Norwich, Newcastle, it's a really good run of fixtures. So I think Ings could be an interesting one. Only £6 million as well to get him.
All right, you convinced me.
Good.
Tom.
Quite a lot of fantasy managers will be looking for a new goalkeeper this week, albeit temporarily, because Dean Henderson of Sheffield United cannot play against his parent club, Manchester United. So how about Ben Foster? Of Watford, who are at home to Burnley, a team who don't travel very well. Really good form of late, 3 clean sheets in his last 5 games. Watford have really improved at the back since Kike Sanchez Flores came in. Foster is only 4.8 million, only 2.1% ownership, so real differential potential there.
All right, if managers bring him in just temporarily, that would make him like a Foster keeper, no?
It kind of would, yeah.
Okay, but yeah, great numbers behind him. And if he does ever score a Premier League goal, an FPL goal, whammo.
friends of the show as well, you know.
How is he a friend of the show?
He listens to the podcast.
Is
he
that
plays
right?
The game. Yeah, he's big. And I saw him actually yesterday. And he also listens to a few of your podcasts, other podcasts, but this one in particular, yeah. And he drives a Tesla as well, so we like him.
Brilliant. Well, it's you, Ben, if you're speeding along on your electric vehicle. And congratulations on your brilliant season so far. Watford, as we mentioned, with Ben keeping 3 clean sheets in his last 5. Oof, very tasty. Brilliant. After this, and after all those clever suggestions about who to get in, we'll hear who the pundits are actually thinking of making a move for this time around and who gets to wear the armband. OK then, Tom, what are you actually going to do ahead of game week 13?
I need to get rid of Mo Salah, so yes. I think I'm going to bring in Sadio Mane, unless I go a bit left field and bring in a Leicester midfielder, because I don't currently have any of them.
Oh, really? Interesting. Jules?
So Rico from Bournemouth, I will let him go, because I think he gave me loads of points and he's been great, but I think Bournemouth, as we said, have tough games to come and not so convinced anymore. And Ender Stevens will replace him, Sheffield United defender. And then, like I said, I'm not sure about De Bruyne. I like Raul Jimenez a lot as well, and my boy Danny Ings as well.
Right.
So I have a think about that.
And this weekend is particularly tense for you, isn't it? Because you're top. You know.
I feel the pressure a bit, although I'm confident. I mean, I shouldn't change a team that's winning. Clearly, you know. So I've got 2 free transfers, so I might play a bit. I always do it so late. I wait until almost the last minute to do it because I'm, you know, think about it a lot.
Okay. Sam, what are you going to do?
Well, I want my crown back. So, of course, I'm coming to get you. So I've made 2 transfers already this week. I have, as Tom said, I had a Salah-shaped problem, which I've dealt with. I've swapped him out for Mane. I just didn't want to go with no Liverpool over this nice fixtures. I know that they're missing a game in 6 weeks' time, but actually the fixtures up until then are nice. And I've also had a Callum Hudson-Odoi shaped problem as he was just coming on for 8 minutes here and there and irritating me. So he's gone for Tielemans. So I've made my 2 free transfers this week. My big issue now is who do I give my captain's armband to?
Well, that's very much what we're going to tackle to finish off with. So who is going to wear the armband?
Oh, James.
Come on. It's Harry Kane.
I know, you can't betray him.
I guarantee you'll give it to Harry Kane. Let's move on. Jules, who are you going to give it to?
Jamie Vardy's having a party, and I think the party will continue at the weekend. So,
really?
Yeah.
See, I agree with that.
Do you?
Yes. My armband's been on Vardy all week, and I just think if I move it now, I'll regret missing the party.
Follow the leader. Just follow the leader, I think.
But then I do need a differential to catch him now.
Yeah, you've got 5 points, yeah. By the way. If you
Is that
yes.
what it is, 5?
It's 5 points
yeah. between it's a Kane goal
we're
between
in,
us.
We're in. We're in.
Wow. Tom?
You're much below down the table, Tom, but what are you going to do?
Just to shake things up a little bit, I am going to captain Jamie Vardy as well.
All right. And if you were looking for a differential pick, say, to make up ground on other modest fantasy managers further up the table, who would you be looking at?
A left field captaincy pick. I don't know. I mean, maybe since we've been sort of talking him down so much, maybe Kevin De Bruyne is about to remind us all what a spectacular footballer he is and lead City to a crushing win over Chelsea.
Okay.
He's my vice-captain at the moment.
Right.
What about yours, James?
Currently, I'm pretty sure... Well, I've had my armband kind of tattooed on Jamie Vardy's arm for the last month or so, which has seen me go storming up from the depths of 7 million in the world standings to just outside, you know, the top million.
That's
so
great.
I might stick with Jamie Vardy, although I don't know how long this run can go on with. Otherwise, I think Sadio Mane is my vice at the moment to wear at Palace.
That's a good pick.
Well, yeah, if Pulisic didn't have a flag on him, I'd seriously consider throwing the armband his way.
Against City?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, I wouldn't. I just looked at this and went, oh, yeah, Pulisic.
Please
keep it.
Keep that bit.
All right. Anyway, all right. Well, I've obviously got some thinking to do ahead of game week 13. It is an 11:30 deadline UK time on Saturday morning, 1 hour before West Ham inaugurate the brand new Jose Mourinho Spurs era at the London Stadium. Best of luck, everybody, with your game week 13 picks. And many thanks, Tom, Jules and Sam, for being with us today. If you're hungry for more FPL content, like the FPL Show and FPL FYI, then head over to PremierLeague.com And we'll, of course, be back same time next week. So from all of us here in the meantime, it's goodbye.